In Ireland, unlike other countries, it wasn't the usual custom to burn people as witches or wizards. One of the very few cases, in fact, happened in Kilkenny, a bit before the Black Death, in the year 1324, to be precise. There was a woman in the town of Kilkenny at that time called Alice Kittler, and of very respectable people too, they were bankers. She was good at the banking herself, it seems, because she had a lot of money, or had the reputation of having a lot of money, and signs by the men gathered around her. She was married 4 times. The only problem was, none of the husbands lived too long. And of course, maybe it was jealousy, or maybe it was the husbands. The rumours started, and the rumours were of witchcraft. And as well as that, it was said that at strange hours in day and night, this tall, dark man used to be seen coming to her house. Artison, they called him. And of course they began to say that, well, 'twas none other than the devil himself was calling. And she had a servant, a woman. Her name was Petronilla of Meath. And people also said, of course, that she was helping her in the black arts. One way or another, she got a bad name. And on May morning of that year, 1324, a neighbour of hers, across the street from the house that she lived in now. 'Twas before dawn, and he sat up in his bed, and he thought he heard voices, and some noise such as like this. God knows, isn't it early? Some bloody devils are out there in the street. And he got up out of the bed and went to the window, and the strange sight he saw. There, below, on the street, was his neighbour, none other than Alice Kittler, and she, with her big brush, and she brushing and brushing the dust of the street towards her own front door. And he looked down. And whatever look back she gave, he thought he was seen, because back into the room he stood where he couldn't be seen. And he listened. And when she saw that there was nobody watching her, on she went with her business, and all the time muttering some words. And he was there now above in his room, straining to hear what she was saying. And as she came closer under the window, he could hear something like, "To the house of Robert my son come all the wealth of Kilkenny town. To the house of Robert my son come all the wealth of Kilkenny town." And on she brushed all the way. And when that was done, she went to the other side of the street, muttering away and away, until she came with the dust from that side and brushed it in her own front door, all the time saying, "To the house of Robert my son come all the wealth of Kilkenny town." I needn't tell you, your man went back to bed with something to think about. And it was noticed by other people after that, that certain things were happening in the town. Respectable businesses were going bust, and people were beginning to miss valuables from safe hiding places. Only one person seemed to be benefiting by all this, Robert Kittler. Of course, when this happened, the neighbouring man, he began to talk of the strange thing he had seen on May morning and heard. And the word spread, until it came, eventually, to the ears of the Bishop of Ossory, Richard de Ledrair, an Englishman and a tough man. Oh, he was a Franciscan, and none tougher than that same crowd. Well, when he heard of it, of course, he says, "I'll have no witchcraft in my diocese," and he wrote out a letter to Dublin Castle, to the Lord Chancellor himself, and said, "Arrest this woman. God knows where this kind of carry-on will lead, but the boys in Dublin must be asleep or something," because he got no reply to his letter. Somebody knew he had it written, though, because a short time after that, Richard de Ledrair was visiting the Abbey of Kells, and when he was leaving, after saying whatever he had to say to the abbot, he was coming along the road when he was set upon by a crowd of men, surrounded him, and said to him, "Well, you'd have our mistress put in jail, would you? Well, we'll see what you think of it." And they carried him off to the forests of County Meath and locked him up in a house there and kept him there for at least 2 weeks. And he'd be there yet, maybe, but being a bishop, he had a secret supply of gold and maybe other influences, and he was able to persuade the guards to let him out. He went this time in person to Dublin. He wasn't going to trust it to a letter. And in he went to the Chancellor's office, to the office of John Darcy himself. He said, "Look, Is this going to be allowed in the Kingdom of Ireland, that a bishop can be locked up at the will of these bandits and witches? Of course, when John Darcy heard that, he knew that he had to do something, so he said, I'll come to Kilkenny myself, summon the court and bring the witnesses, and we'll see. A short time after that, he did come to Kilkenny, and the court was summoned. And up into the accused box was put none other than Alice Kittler herself. And John Darcy was the judge that day, and he said, Alice Kittler, you're accused of heinous crimes. What have you to say for yourself? She said nothing for herself. And no matter what question or accusation was put to her, she said nothing, only looked at all the people there out of her cold eyes. All right, said John Darcy. We'll see about this. Bring on the witness. And up into the witness's box was brought none other than her neighbour. When she saw the neighbour, he began to squirm. Uncomfortable, I'll tell you he was. But the judge asked him, well, tell us what you saw on May morning. And stuttering and stammering, the neighbouring man told his story, and what he saw, and what he heard. Repeat that for us, said John Darcy. She said words like, Your Honour, to the house of Robert, my son, come all the wealth of Kilkenny town. Indeed, said the bishop. He was there in the front row. And there's many a person in this town that can say that those words came true since. All right, said John Darcy. What have you to say for yourself now, madam? She said nothing. And he reached out and he said, look, do you want me to put on the bit of black cloth and pronounce you a witch? You know what's going to happen if I do? Admit your wrongdoing now while you have a time. Well, she said nothing yet. All right, says he, you force my hand. He put the black square of cloth on his head, and he pronounced there and then that 2 weeks from that day, Alice Kittler and Petronilla de Meath and any other people found involved were going to be burned outside that very house in the street in Kilkenny. With that, the court closed. The guards were summoned to take her down and Petronilla down also to the cells below. But before they came, Alice Kittler looked at her neighbour and said, you won't be around to see this happening in 2 weeks' time. And with that, she was dragged off down to the jail. And indeed, a strong jail it was. The walls must be surely 4 feet thick. And in the condemned cell, herself and Petronilla were put. That was the strong place with a small window and an iron door. Nothing inside, only a three-legged stool and a fist of straw as a bed. They were left there, and the guards kept outside the door 24 hours in the day. The neighbouring man went home that evening, went to bed that night, but if he did, he woke some time during the night with these ferocious pains in his stomach, like people had been sticking knives in him, and he could see no one. With his roaring and screeching, the servants came into the room and they said, what's the matter, sir? What's the matter? He says, there's something killing me. It must be herself. Who, they said. No, Alice Kittler, get the doctor, get the priest. And they did. They got the doctor. He could do nothing. And the priest could do little more. The man died. Never made the morning. And maybe Alice Kittler herself knew more about it than she was prepared to say. But down at the jail, there was no sound. The guards knew nothing, and the days went by, until, on the morning appointed, the mayor of the town, with all his robes on him, he stood outside the tulcel. He unfurled a piece of paper that he had, and announced to the people of Kilkenny that were gathered, and there weren't too many. Only the bravest of the brave put out their faces. They didn't want to risk it. Oh, they were watching it from their own doorways and their own windows upstairs, from behind curtains. But the crowd gathered was small. And the mayor announced, be it known to all that I, by the grace of God, mayor of this town of Kilkenny, do hereby order in the name of the powers spiritual and temporal of this kingdom, that the said Alice Kittler and Petronilla of Meath be brought forth to this place, that the sentence of the court may be carried out. Guards, bring forth Petronilla de Meath. And the guards clanked into the jail, opened the door, and brought out Petronilla, as white as her shirt. tied her onto the stake, lit the fire, and indeed, it was a short battle she made. After that, guards, said the mayor, bring forth the other prisoner, Alice Kittler herself. Back they went, into the jail, and down along the corridor. But as they were shoving towards the condemned cell with its iron door, they found it getting hotter and hotter, until by the time they got there, they were sweating inside in their armour. And, God knows, says one of them, the place must be on fire. He ran to the door and put his hand on the door, but the minute he did, pulled it back. It nearly burned the hand of him. Red hot was the handle. Lord bless us, he says, get water quick. And they did. They passed in buckets of water from man to man in along the corridor and threw it on the door. The clouds of steam went up and surrounded them, and the more and more water they threw in it, the greater the clouds got. Until, in the end, they were able to get near it. They were wary, I needn't tell you. No man wanted to put his hand on that door again for fear of getting the same as the first man. And when eventually one of them, the captain of the guard, did just that, it was cold and black. And he said, where's the key? The key was given to him. He stuck it in the lock, but there was no turning it. The lock was melted. Where's there a blacksmith in the town, says he? Hurry on, get him. And the blacksmith came with his hammer, and in that narrow corridor he started sledging the door, and the sounds of it rang out into the street, and all the people, they could hear this going on, and they wondered what is happening in there. Well, eventually the door broke in off the hinges, and they looked around them, gathered in that small little room. There was no sign of Alice Kittler, only a heap of burned timber and bedding in one corner. And they looked along the walls. No sign of her, only the marks of smoke up along the walls. And they looked at the window to see would she have escaped there. No sign of the window being tampered with. There were the bars, as strong as ever. Well, says one of them, we better get the bishop. He'll know maybe what happened. The bishop came, pushed his way through the crowd, wondering what was the hold-up. And when he saw, and when he was told what the story was, all he could say was, the old fellow came for her at last. Isn't it true that the devil knows his own? Whatever the truth of the story was, Alice Kittler was never found from that day forward. And the story is, yet to this day, that the devil did come for her.